Welcome to Literary Quest, a podcast hosted by us, Vicky and Marissa, where we discuss our favorite in fantasy fiction and hopefully can direct you in your quest to find your next great read. Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Literary Quest. Today we're discussing Redwall by Brian Jock. I'll introduce our characters and location, and Vicky will discuss our plot. So for our characters, we have Matthias, who is a young mouse. He is a resident of Redwall Abbey and planning to become a servant of the Abbey, though he has a heart of a warrior and looks up to the Abbey's previous defender, Martin the Warrior. He is kind and brave. Matthias is clever and he has a strong sense of honor and duty. He serves under Abbot Mortimer. And the abbot tends to the ill and needy in the abbey. Clooney is a massive bildrat whose reputation precedes him wherever he goes. He has one eye. He carries a staff with a ferret's head mounted to it and commands an army of 500 vicious rats and other nefarious creatures. He has a history of murder and destruction, and has his eyes set on the Abbey. Methuselah is the eldest mouse of Redwall Abbey, the gatekeeper and record keeper. His long memory and record keeping are vital, and he is very close friends with Matthias. There are a host of side characters that appear in this story, including Constance the Badger, Jess the Squirrel, Warbeak Sparra, who is a sparrow, Ambrose Spike, who is a hedgehog, and Basil Staghair, who's a hare. They are all instrumental in the battle for Redwall Abbey. And we have Asmodeus. He is an adder, a big venomous snake that patrols the Mossflower Wood surrounding the abbey, always looking for his next victim. This book takes place at Redwall Abbey and in the Mossflower Wood that surrounds it. Redwall Abbey is a place of refuge for all manner of critters who come in peace and are in need of medical attention, food, or rest. Vicky?
Yeah. So, Matthias is a young and brave mouse who is currently a novice at Redwall Abbey. He greatly admires Martin the Warrior, who defended the Abbey many years ago. Redwall is now a place of peace, and the members will only use violence for defense. For years, everything has been quiet and peaceful, but that will soon change. Clooney, a giant and murderous rat with one eye, has assembled an army of rats. He is determined to take Redwall for himself. Unfortunately for him, the woodland creatures who inhabit the abbey are not going to let that happen. Clooney and the rats set up base at an old church. In doing so, they also capture and hold hostage a mouse family living there. Clooney steals the tapestry of Martin the Warrior to hurt the morale of Redwall Abbey. Matthias sneaks out to get the tapestry back. With the help of Hare, he is able to sneak into the church. While he fails to get the tapestry back, he does rescue the hostages. The abbey is soon attacked by Clooney, but they're able to defend Redwall. Constance the Badger is very helpful as she is strong and able to take on many rivals. They are able to seriously wound Clooney and kill many rats. Even though they successfully fend off Clooney's first attack, morale is low. Matthias believes that finding Martin's sword is the key to defeating the rats. He pairs up with the oldest and wisest mouse, Methuselah. They start to discover clues hidden in the abbey. First, they find Martin's tomb, which contains a shield, but no sword. Additional clues lead them to realize that the sword is hidden by a weather vane. When they send Jess, a squirrel, to find it, she reports back that it's no longer there. They realize the sword must have been taken by the birds who nest in that area. Matthias captures a young bird, and under the pretense of returning her, he finds the birds. It doesn't work out well for him. The king is insane, and Matthias ends up captured himself. Clooney, with the help of sly foxes, has healed, and he readies his army to attack. So what happens? Will Matthias find the sword in time to defeat Clooney, or will the evil rat successfully take over Redwall? Spoilers ahead.
Yup. There we go.
This was a child's book.
Yeah, I was surprised All of the murder.
And not just like, oh, he died. There was like this thing of like red mist of like blood at some point that happens. Somebody,
And Clooney cackling at the, it was a rat that had been murdered in that situation, I think. And Clooney just cackling as he rides away, in the wake of that rat's death. It was surprisingly violent for a children's story. Like,
It was.
I wasn't expecting it.
Me either. I thought I was going into, I think I may have read this book like a very long time ago, but I don't remember it. But I was expecting to go into like a bunch of mice, you know, like how cute sort of thing.
This
No,
was not that story.
was not. This was not Stuart Little. We are very far from the mice, from that type of story.
Yes, we are.
At some, they mentioned like the army of rats ate piglets.
Yep.
What?
And rabbits. Yeah. I was horrified because I did not know that rats could do that. So I looked it up because I was thinking, surely not. It turns out that they can do that, actually. They have been known to eat baby rabbits, and it looks like they can eat anything if it's small enough to carry off or unable to fight back, including each other.
I
So,
now I really get why rats are hated.
yeah.
Like, you know, normally I'm like, ah, they're just trying to live. What?
Yeah,
They
I mean,
eat
this
funny.
was nothing like Ratatouille.
No.
Remy would have been murdered immediately by these rats. Remy would probably have allied with the red ball mi mice, really.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, there was more violence than anticipated in this story, and this was just the beginning. It gets worse. We'll talk about it. There's even more. Yeah. I did not read this book when I was a child. The first time I really remember being aware of it was in probably middle school. And I have like a very specific memory of a classmate who was a boy reading these books and thinking that I would not like them because there was a mouse on the cover and a boy was reading it.
Do you now? I guess you now feel differently.
I mean, yes,
Yes.
because I enjoyed this book, but I don't think a fifth grade me would have enjoyed this book. I was reading Holes. Like that was where I was in fifth grade. I was reading Holes and Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, and I don't think that I would have picked a book this dark in fifth grade.
In fifth grade, I was definitely reading Animorphs, and then I think I was reading some of like the Ender's Game series, which is also kind of dark.
Clooney is a really good villain.
Right?
Like, he is horrifying. He's got his tail that is very long and powerful, and he beats people with.
Yeah, he whips them. What?
And in battle, he has a poison spike that goes on his tail that he uses to kill people. And he's very clever at commanding his army of rats. His maliciousness, in combination with just being very intelligent, made for really great leadership because, as we see in the story, these rats will turn on a dime. Their loyalty, their sense of loyalty to their leader is very willy-nilly. And so he, I think, has a very good understanding of the thinking of the people that follow him and manipulates them very successfully and is a ruthless, again, just murders his followers with no issue.
And it's not just like, I'm gonna murder everyone. He was smart with the tapestry thing, right? I know this is gonna hurt them. You know, the first thing he did was not to attack them, right? It was to get their, you know, get that Martin the Warrior.
Yeah, their beacon of hope.
Yep.
Yeah, I was very clever. He's not just some ignorant brute.
He's
really thoughtful about his decisions and his plans of attack. So I felt like he was terrible, but as a villain, he was pretty good.
Yeah, especially for like more of a children's book too. A lot of times I feel like kids' books are very much just like, oh, good and evil, you know,
Right.
much more than that, but this is.
We also see some, it's just another example of brutality, but so there's a scene where Clooney orders some rats who failed to do their job as lookout to be locked in a shed and starved for the foreseeable future.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, cannibalism. They will start to eat each other.
I highlighted so many of those things, and my notes was just WTF. Like with tons of question marks. Like I highlighted most of the violence, or most of the like really extreme violence. Yes.
Was so unexpected.
It was. Oh, God. Oh.
The rats have really specific and bizarre names.
Yes, we have frog blood, right? Cheese thief, scum
Fangbore.
toad.
Yeah.
Yep.
Scrags.
Yeah.
I
Rag
guess,
ear.
yeah. Oh, yeah. I guess you're named on, whatever it is that you're known for stealing, maybe.
I guess, yeah.
I don't know how that works, but it sounds like Cheese Thief was probably a cheese thief.
Clearly, when he turned out, no, he's a bank robber.
Frog blood, I guess, murdered frogs. Again, I'm horrified by that. There is one little side scene where there's a frog who hears Clooney's army walking by, and it's like, nope, I'm just gonna stay here in the mud because the rats will eat me. Do rats eat frogs?
It sounds like they will eat anything.
It sounds like it. I don't like it. Leave the frogs alone. Yeah.
The Abbey animals, some of them have, names like that. 'Cause like cornflower, right?
Yeah.
That's a cute name. These names, well, the rat name specifically just reminded me of like the Black Dagger Brotherhood names.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with like fury with a PH sort of thing, but
Yeah.
these are much more on the nose, I think.
Yeah. I think they're a little bit more specific to
Yes.
whatever it is that they do. I don't know what my name would be if my name were based on my activities. Therapy smut reader.
Yeah, I was gonna say something with like, therapy, pelvic health.
Yeah.
Something with sex, maybe.
Yeah.
So, you'd have an interesting name. I don't know what my name would be. Maybe you would have something to do with baking.
Oh, yeah. H.R. Baker.
Oh God. That
That sounds like an actual name.
does.
You could be H.R. Baker. That could be your like next identity if you decided to abandon this world, and move to the woods.
Okay, perfect.
Victoria is no longer. You may refer to me as H.R. Baker. I'm but a modest creature living in the woods with my KitchenAid mixer. There you go. I did think the alignment of creatures as good versus evil in this story was interesting. On the evil side, we have rats and stoats. And ferrets and weasel, and I've never heard of a stoat before. So I don't know what that is, but I wonder what makes weasels or ferrets, really ferrets, because ferrets are cute. I like what makes them dark side creatures?
Have you ever interacted with a ferret?
No, they're cute.
The one interaction I had with a ferret, I have a scar from.
Oh
I have
no.
a scar on my arm, and it goes, it's Yeah, it's like a 2-inch long scar from this ferret. And I was like, these things are evil, and I'm never gonna touch
What
them again.
happened?
It was a friend's pet. And so
Yeah.
they were like, here, hold and pet the ferret. So they put it in my arms and I was like, oh, cute ferret. And I'm petting it. And it decided it didn't want to be pet anymore and like launched itself off of me and like clawed into my arm. And one of the cuts that I got was deep enough that it scarred.
Wow.
It also smelled bad. So they
Well,
do look cute. But and then my friend was like, oh yeah, that happens all the time.
oh my
And
gosh.
yeah, her mom was like, why'd you even take it out of the cage? Put it back.
Well, stoats look a lot like ferrets and weasels, I think. So maybe it's just there. Well, no, because mice can crawl into big holes and or little holes and are pretty sneaky and things like that. I don't know.
Maybe just the name Weasel.
Maybe. Oh yeah. There's that. Let's see. Stoats are typically sustained by a diet of rodents, hamsters, voles,
I guess they're just the
lizards,
natural enemy of mice, then. Maybe
maybe
that's what
so,
happened on the.
rabbits.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a picture of a stoat killing a rabbit. That's sad. I don't like it. Okay. Well, so that's the evil side. And then on the good side, we have like literally everything else. All of the varieties of mice and shrew, badgers, moles,
Birds.
birds, a cat. And then, oh, I feel like there was something. Oh, hedgehog.
Oh, yeah, the hedgehog. Yep.
Yes, a hedgehog with a drinking problem, it sounds like.
That's true.
He was the one that was always trying to get into the cellar to get the ale. So,
Yes, that's right.
got a hedgehog with a drinking problem in the story. Yeah, I don't know. I just thought it was interesting the way that the breakdown of good versus evil kind of landed there. Matthias, bless his heart. Matthias with his sword. Asmodeus is on the cover. Cluny's at the top. I thought it was hilarious. Poor Matthias. They kept talking about how loud he was because his flip-flops were too big.
He is
And he
mean
kept
felt though.
tripping. Get him some shoes that fit. Come on.
I love that he thinks about it multiple times too. Like the what do they call him, Father Abbott or just Abbott? I
Yeah.
don't remember. And
His title or his position was Abbott.
right, okay.
Yeah, but
So he thinks several times, oh, I should get him like shoes that fit. And then he doesn't.
I know. Well, it would totally ruin your cover, right? If you were trying to sneak up on something and you just hear like if you tripped, it'd be game over. There'd be no more sneaking.
Yep.
So, poor Matthias.
He did well, though.
Yeah, for a young mouse with shoes that don't fit wearing a habit, did really good.
He did. He had, like a friend and mentor Methuselah to help him out. So,
Yeah,
is
you
great.
have this note about religious names.
Yeah, so I noticed there are several characters with like very traditionally religious names. So like Matthias, Methuselah, Asmodeus. And when I was first reading, I thought, oh, maybe it's just like this is how they're distinguishing from the main characters, But I mean, I don't think Constance is a religious name, and she was pretty main character. And then you had the fox, whose name I don't know for sure if I'm pronouncing it right. It was like Sela or Sela, which
Yeah.
is a Hebrew name, I believe. So I don't know. I always wonder why, like, especially when there are multiple characters with religious names, like known to be religious names. I feel like there's a reason. I don't know. I looked it up a little bit. The author was Roman Catholic, which could also kind of explain. So you know how the tapestry has Martin on it, right? And Catholics are big on their saints and all
Oh,
that
yeah.
stuff. And so they're like, oh, maybe like so there was this thing. I think it was on Reddit, like, oh, it's parallel to Catholicism. But
That's
I don't
interesting.
know.
Did that make you not like it?
No. No, not at all.
Yeah. I, for the name, like Methuselah, Matthias, to me, those names make sense because they are part of the Abbey, right? So if Matthias was born there, grew up there, we don't know anything about his parents. It sounds like he's lived at the Abbey for a long time. Maybe he was raised there. Maybe they named him. And if it's a religious-based organization, it makes sense that they would choose a name that had religious history. Maybe that's part of it. Is Asmodeus a religious name?
It is used in the Bible to as another name for Satan, I believe, and
Oh,
demons.
okay.
So it is, yes, it's in the Bible.
Okay, that makes sense because when I've heard of Asmodeus in the past, it's been related to demons. So,
Yeah, it's not a good name, I guess. It's definitely, I mean, not that it's not a good name, but it's like in from the Bible. It's not one of the
right.
heroes. It's the bad guy.
Yeah. I really liked some of the descriptions of the things at the Abbey. They were just very pleasant. They gave like Peter Rabbit vibes. Did you ever watch the animated Peter Rabbit
I read the
movie?
books by Beatrice.
So when I was young, my grandma had some animated movies that followed those stories. And this reminded me of that. Like when Matthias and his friend are catching a really big fish, or at the Jubilee when they're feasting. It's just very pleasant to read. It sounds, oh, just, lovely to be in a fortress with a bunch of other mice drinking ale out of tiny little cups that are made from hollowed-out acorns. And it's cute. It reminds me of this page that I see on Instagram. It's someone has taken these knit frogs and they have them making tiny little cakes and meals and sitting in tiny little recliners or chairs, and they have little aprons and they're just so cute.
That is cute. I've seen that too. They're cute. I think TikTok has some of that. These like tiny gnoming things is really cute.
I liked it. It wasn't all murder.
No,
Not
no.
all murder and death. There were some pleasant parts in the story. There were not many pleasant parts in the story, but there were a few. This is a story about bullying. Clooney and his army come to the Abbey with the intention of forcing surrender because they're bigger than our mice friends. They say, you have to give up and we will enslave you, and you have to give us all of your stuff, and that's it. And they underestimate the might of a well-organized team and also the value of friends coming together for a shared cause. Also, the mice of the Abbey don't just ally with other rodents, which is what Clooney did, but with all manner of creatures, which ends up being what brings him to victory in the end over Clooney and his horde of rats.
Diversity.
Diversity, don't underestimate the small person, but also don't underestimate the power of true friends. Because Clooney doesn't have any friends. It's all about him trying to maintain power by making his followers fear him. There's no security in that. What I really appreciated about this story was the representation that we have in gender roles. And I found that really surprising based on what I thought I knew about this story from what I assumed when I was in fifth grade. So the majority of the characters in this book are male, but we have several female characters who are highlighted in positions of power and do a lot of strategizing, which is great. We have Constance Badger, who does the majority of the organizing, commanding, and planning for the armed forces of the Red Wall.
I loved her. I think she
I
was
did
one of my
too.
favorite characters because, yeah, she was great.
So forceful and clever and really good at acknowledging where the abbot really just kind of wanted things to settle down. And after Clooney was defeated in their first sort of battle, he just thought things would go back. And Constance was the one to say, no, these type of people never settle. He will be back and we need to be prepared. And the abbot says, you know what? You take charge of this. I'm just going to work on healing people and you can do the armies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She was great. We have Jess Squirrel, who is heralded by her husband as being awesome, which I loved.
So sweet.
Yeah. She's a skilled climber. She's really clever. She's a great fighter. She works with Basil Sage Hare to thwart some of Clooney's efforts. She's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
We have Gwosom. I'm not sure if I've said that name correctly, who is a shrew and is the leader of the Union of the Shrews. I was so amused, one, but joyed, too, to see a union in the story.
Right?
How unexpected. But also, it was a union led by a woman, or a female, not a woman, a female. Mm-hmm. True. And then we have Warbeak Sparrow, who's a sparrow, and she becomes the queen of the sparrows after King Bull Sparrow is killed. And her mother, Warbeak's mother, Dunwing, does a lot to aid the cause of the mice.
Mm-hmm.
Even Cornflower, who in the story is filling a role that's more traditionally assigned to women in stories like this by making sure everybody's fed and taken care of, is instrumental in the destruction of one of Clooney's plots to infiltrate the wall around the abbey.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can contrast that with Clooney's army, in which no female characters are represented. He gets the help of Cela the fox, who's a healer, but he ends up killing her.
That scene? Oh my god. Her, that was just her, so they kill her son, right? Or they think they kill him. Her body falls on top of him, and then he's alive, but has like no emotional reaction to his dead mother.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Or if anything, he's haughty about it. Like, yeah, that shows you for underestimating me, and I'll show you what I can do.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But yeah, so it's interesting, kind of going back to the gender. So there's the female mouse, Cornflower, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who is, I guess, the love interest, I suppose, in this book.
Yeah.
But, like, they call her a filly at one point and mention that she'd be a good wife. And then also at the end, when, you know, Matthias is appointed as, like, defender, warrior,
mm-hmm.
the guy's like, and you also need a wife. So how about Flower?
Yeah.
It's like, what? That was quite an escalation of the relationship from like making eyes at each other across the room to getting married.
Yeah. I mean, maybe mice do it different. I don't know. But I didn't really appreciate this part for the same reasons. I just did not like it, just didn't sit well with me. Mm-hmm. The abbot was dying in this scene. Like, these are his last words.
He's got
Cornflower.
Mm-hmm.
Matthias needs a wife, so why don't you take one for the team? What? This is what you want to spend your dying breaths on? I just thought it was, it made me cringe a little bit. I didn't love that.
Yeah.
Cornflower, I know that you were really helpful and instrumental in making sure that everyone was cared for through all of this. Matthias needs a wife, so if you could do that, you'd really be helping us out.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird.
Yeah.
I thought it was weird. I didn't appreciate that part. Mm-hmm. I also thought that the part with the foxes was probably the hardest part for me to buy into.
Mm-hmm.
Because foxes are much larger than rats.
Mm-hmm.
And even small foxes are going to weigh quite a bit more than rats. And also, they can be really vicious and aggressive when they need to be. And so there's that scene where they kill Chicken Hound, and well, they think they kill Chicken Hound, the fox, and his mother, Sela. And I just did not really buy in.
Yeah, I was surprised at how easily they took down two foxes.
Yeah. And then, so Chicken Hound isn't dead. He's haughty and resentful of his dead mother, but he makes his way to the Redwall Abbey so that he can tell the people there that Clooney is planning to tunnel into the Abbey. And he shows up and they take him in and they feed him and bandage him from where he's been injured and take care of him. And he repays them by stealing from them and killing Methuselah.
Yeah, on top of that, not just the murder, but when he's eating their food, right? Instead of the stuff that he doesn't like, instead of just leaving it, he goes to destroy it.
Yeah.
So it's not even like he's just eating the stuff that he wants. He's actively destroying things
Yeah. And
that.
making a mess.
Yeah. It's very rude.
It is very rude.
Really,
Absolutely
yes.
no appreciation for all the stuff that they did for him.
No.
I started, so when the things happened with his mother, I started to feel a little bit bad for him because it would be terrible to be beaten and thrown into a ditch and then your dead mother thrown on top of you and then you have to lay there underneath her until the sun goes down so that nobody can see you sneaking away. That would be terrible. But then he did this and he killed Methuselah. And then he got eaten by Asmodeus, and I did not feel bad for him.
Oh, no, not at all.
He had it coming.
Yep, he only had himself to blame.
That's right.
Yeah. Because he was like thinking to himself too, or maybe talking out loud, where he's like, they're gonna give me a new name. You know, maybe it's gonna be, I don't remember what he picked, but you know, this, and he's just so awesome. And then he gets himself eaten by Asmodeus like immediately. So,
Yeah.
yeah.
Rah. He had it coming. I was so upset. The Methuselah's death was pretty sad because he just gets like bashed over the head. It's right after he's finished sewing the tapestry back together. He and Matthias have been working to find the sword, and it was sad. And then Matthias, at this point, they think Matthias is dead too. But he shows up, they find him, and he finds out that Methuselah has died. And so he's like crying and grieving. And I had this other cringe moment because one of his comrades, and I think it's the hare, says, basically, suck it up, stop crying. You're allowed to have feelings when someone you love dies.
Yeah. Shows a little bit of toxic masculinity there.
Yeah. It's a, I mean, if you're going to put all this murder in a kid's story, you should normalize having feelings about it. Suck it up. Would Methuselah want you to cry?
Ugh.
Yeah, not great.
It was written in what, 1986?
Six.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Peak bootstrap season.
Very much so.
The author wrote dialects for some of the characters that were really difficult to understand. The moles especially were ex there were parts that I didn't have a clue what was being said by the character. And I appreciated that even some of the characters in the books were confused by their speech and didn't know what they were saying. So tells me that was intentional. The sparrows, though, the sparrows also, so the moles had a really difficult dialect to understand, but the sparrows also had their own dialect too, and it was a little bit difficult as well.
Yeah. I feel like the sparrows, I don't know why, I just felt like that went on for a very long time.
Yeah.
And I wasn't a huge fan of that, like, I guess, portion of the book.
Yeah.
And I think maybe part of it has to do because it was of maybe the dialect. It was just tiresome to read, I guess. I don't know. It wasn't as fun to read, I suppose, maybe is what it was. And so, especially the king of it, I was just like, I don't know what's happened with this dude.
I did think that Matthias had a good moment in this, in the scenes with the sparrows, though, because they had ended up trapping one of the sparrows
Yes.
when it had attacked Jess, the squirrel.
Mm-hmm.
And so to get into the roost of the sparrows so that Matthias could look for the sword, he put a collar on the sparrow. It was Warbeak. He put a collar on Warbeak and uses her help to get up into the roost of the sparrow so that he can look for the sword.
Yes.
And he finds himself being collared once he gets to the roost. The king of the sparrows says that he has to be kept on a leash. And it chafes. He doesn't like it. He doesn't like being collared. And he makes a comment about how he would never do that to another creature again, which I think is an important realization. But his relationship with Warbeak ends up becoming really important later on in the story.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah. He continues in his efforts to try to find the sword. It's not in the roost of the sparrows. And so he finds out from Warbeak's mother, Dunwing, I think, that the Asmodeus, or that the snake Asmodeus, has the sword in his lair. So that leads to another adventure. He almost dies escaping the sparrows. He gets patched up just enough to function again, and then he takes off into the forest after the sword. He's very brave and determined. He goes through a lot to get to Martin's sword.
He does. And I love at the beginning with all the riddles. That's
I
always
knew you would love that part. I read that
fun.
and I thought Vicky's gonna love this.
I did. I loved that. Yeah, he does go through a lot. I know I felt when he realized the sword wasn't there, I was like, oh no.
Yeah. So
Oh no.
disappointing because he had gone through so much.
And now he has to fight some or an adder, right?
Big snake. Yeah. That would be terrifying for a mouse. For me.
Yeah, I don't
That'd be
think I would
terrifying
do
for
it.
me. Yeah. I had nightmares after reading this book. I dreamed that
My
my house and my yard were infested by snakes and rats. It was terrible.
gosh. Yeah,
I
that's
would not want to
terrifying.
fight the Asmodeus snake. But he does. He partners with the shrews
Nope.
and they go into the secret tunnel and he finds the sword. He almost dies getting it, and then he murders again. The brutality. He murders the snake. He chops its head off.
I know.
I'm so curious about how big this sword is for a mouse to be able to do that with their tiny little arms and how much it would weigh.
To take off the head of a snake.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. Well, it was very impressive, but yes, quite brutal.
Yeah. Also, Gwosom dies.
Yes.
That's true. The leader of the
Yeah.
union, she gets bitten by the snake and dies.
Yeah.
But this whole little side quest with Matthias gets him more allies with the shrews, as well as a big snowy owl and a cat who's a vegetarian or a pescatarian, it sounds like. I thought that was hilarious because he meets the cat and the cat's name is like Sir Gingervere or something. It's a very esteemed title or sounding name. And he says, my diet consists of herbs and grasses and the occasional fish. I have cats. They only eat grasses when they're sick or annoyed at me. When their food bowl is empty, they will come and chew on one of my house plants and then get sick. Or if their bowl is empty, I have this one cat. His name's Reggie and he's the sweetest. But if the bowl is empty and he is annoyed, he will just start vomiting.
Cats are
Why?
sure.
Why do you have to be this way? Or I'll fill the bowl up and he'll eat too fast and start vomiting.
Yep. It's very cat-like.
It is, oh, cats are something else. But
That
anyway.
sound that they make too.
Oh, we'll wake you up from a dead sleep.
Yep. Final battle of this. It reminds me like a Home Alone movie. Like Home Alone. Because they're doing all these clever, like they're setting clever traps and stuff, and then they do things like pouring boiling water, on some rats and stuff, and it was very entertaining. And it just gave me Home Alone vibes.
Yeah, it definitely read like an epic war scene. They were brutal again. The violence was surprising. Cheese Thief suffocates one of his comrades by standing on his throat. They boil the rats alive. Constant shoots Cheese Thief with a big bow. They set a war tower of rats on fire.
I don't remember who it is, but they get cleaved in half.
Oh, I don't remember who that is either, but I'm not
One of them.
surprised.
It was one of the things I highlighted.
Yeah, that's intense. And then the silent squirrel, he has an idea to unleash a nest of hornets on the rats, and they die. It was intense. And then Clooney, he kidnaps a or captures a group of dormice, like a whole family of them. There's like 20 of them or something. Did he kill them? Do we know near the end?
No, I was wondering about that one too, because do they get out?
I don't
No, I
know.
don't know.
I don't know what happened to them. I guess we'll never know. But it got violent, and then Matthias shows up. They end up after a very long battle. Clooney ends up infiltrating the Abbey. He's feeling very victorious. He's being awful. They capture everybody and are holding them at sword point so that he can start dealing out his punishments. He whips his tail into Abbot Mortimer and poisons him, and so he's dying. Then Matthias shows up with his horde of friends. So the sparrows join, the shrews, the cat, the owl, plus everybody in the abbey already. So big battle resumes. Matthias ends up killing Clooney by dropping the giant bell on top of him, which is a spectacular ending.
I also it also the ending also reminded me a little bit of Harry Potter, because how at the end of Harry Potter, like the end of the series, like the big battle, right? It's like all of the people at Hogwarts doing all of the work against the Death Eaters and stuff, and then Harry shows up at the end and is like, all right, I'm gonna kill Voldemort now. And it just kind of gave off that vibe a little bit to me when I was reading
Yeah.
it, because by this time, like Clooney's on the chair, he's like already practically taken or thought he has victory,
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I could see that, but like, I don't know. Everyone else did a lot to bring resolution to the conflict, and I thought the story was overall a good representation of collaborative effort. And Matthias killed Clooney, but if he hadn't had his friends, he wouldn't have, it would all been for nothing. So,
That's true. Yes. But I feel like the same is pretty much for Harry Potter, too.
yeah, it is. Yeah, except I feel like it was prophesied that Voldemort and Harry Potter would have to be the ones that battled each other in the end. Is that right?
You know, I don't remember, but you're probably right. Well, yeah,
I
because it
think it
comes to the
was.
one born in whatever in July.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that it had to be Harry.
Yeah.
But when you cut off the head of the snake, everything else falls apart, which is what happened in both stories. Yep. And then we have Abbot Mortimer dying.
Yeah, that was a bummer.
Was a bummer. Even in the end. And so he's Matthias is understandably upset. And the abbot is like, ah, don't be sad. Death is part of life. Okay. I mean, he's right, but you're still allowed to be sad. All right. Is there anything else you want to say about this story?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Good.
Well, do you have a favorite quote?
Yes, so I picked, even the strongest and bravest must sometimes weep. It shows they have a great heart, one that can feel compassion for others.
There you go. I like that. The strongest. See, so why do we have this? And then we have these other moments where it's like, stop crying.
I know.
Don't
I
be
don't.
sad.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
I like this quote. This quote is right. Even the strongest and brave, everyone must weep sometime. I like it. All righty. Well, that wraps up Redwall by Brian Jacques. Like I said last time, and I'll say it again this time, we are planning to discuss fantasy fiction that is targeted towards children or adolescents this year. So there's a book from your childhood or preteen or teenage years that you really loved and you want us to discuss, send us an email or reach out to us on Instagram. We are always looking for suggestions. And join us next time. We'll be discussing Twilight by Stephenie Meyer. Get ready to laugh. It's going to be great. Thank you for listening to Literary Quest. We hope you enjoyed our episode. If you'd like to follow us on social media, we can be found at Literary Quest Podcast on Instagram or Facebook. You're also welcome to share your thoughts and ideas with us via email at literaryquestpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks again.